Hillary Clinton gave her first national TV interview of her campaign this week. Jeb Bush suggested people need to work longer hours. And Marco Rubio gave a big speech on his economic plans.
But Donald Trump once again sucked all the oxygen out of the room. So let's get to...
Here and Now!
I don't know. You think we're going to get sick of that?
I don't think so.
Joining this week, Rick Klein, political director for ABC. Hi, Rick.
Hi there.
And Christina Bellantoni, editor-in-chief of Roll Call. Hi, Christina.
Hello.
And Rick, we'll start with you. This week, Reince Priebus, chair of the Republican National Committee, reportedly called Donald Trump and told him to tone it down, especially his comments on immigrants. Trump said, no, it was actually a congratulatory call. So do we know how party officials are reacting to him?
We know that they are disagreeing about what even happened publicly. It's exactly what Republicans feared about Donald Trump. He's doing everything that they thought that he would and they feared that they would. Party officials are mildly freaked out right now about the prospect of Donald Trump dominating this debate for an additional series of weeks going into that first Republican debate early next month. And they're trying their best to stop him. But also in that interview, Donald Trump showed the problem with that, which is he may run as an independent. He's not ruling that out. So they are playing with fire when they're dealing with Donald Trump. And they are going to be stuck with him for quite some time.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of what he said for himself this week. Here he is in an interview on NBC.
I have great relationship with the Mexican people. And I have many legal immigrants working with me. Many of them come from Mexico. They love me. I love them. And I'll tell you something. If I get the nomination, I'll win the Latino vote. I will win it because I'm going to create jobs.
Christina, Rick mentioned the Republican debate and the fear of Donald Trump in this Republican debate because they're going to let the 10 people with the best polling numbers be on that stage. And right now he would be right at the top of that list. There has been talk, I've seen it reported this week, of changing the rules. Is there any seriousness to that, that they might try to make it so that Trump can't be in the debate?
I think Rick's exactly right that that is a huge threat for the Republican Party, and then they have to worry about him running as an independent with all of his money. And really, if you're a Jeb Bush or a Scott Walker or a Marco Rubio, really Rand Paul, any of them, and Donald Trump is on that stage with you, and you can say, he does not represent the Republican Party that I know and love and I'm trying to represent, that helps you. So in the end, yeah, he's going to continue to poll well in part because he is a nationally known television star. And he's also probably going to present fairly well in debates because television is his medium. But in the end, when Republican primary voters are making a threshold test, these guys, I think, have opportunities to say things that distance themselves from him, probably help them in the general election. And it is unlikely he is our next president of the United States.
Well, but until then, that moment that you've described, he is forcing all the other candidates to talk about him. Here's former Florida Governor Jeb Bush on Fox News' special report on Wednesday.
We have the winning ideology. Limited government, personal responsibility, individual liberty creates more prosperity and more advantages than any other form of political philosophy. We should focus on that and not get into a food fight that only brings energy to someone who I doubt will be president and is not a constructive force for our party.
So once again, Rick, he ends up having to respond to questions about Donald Trump. But we also have Ted Cruz saying he likes Donald Trump. Are they seeing his poll numbers and thinking, well, wait a minute.
Maybe he'll endorse me.
Right. I think Senator Cruz is playing a different game than the other Republicans. I agree with Christina. There's an opportunity there for one or more of the Republican candidates to stand up even more forcefully than Jeb Bush did right there and say he does not represent the party. This is a dynamic that I'm going to look for to see if someone emerges as the anti-Trump, plays the anti-Trump card. But I think on the other side, Senator Cruz realizes that there's a reason Donald Trump is polling the way he is. He is talking to a segment of the Republican Party, not a majority, almost certainly, but a segment that feels like they haven't been talked straight to. They're disaffected with the establishment. They're disaffected with all of leadership. And Senator Cruz is actually appealing to a similar segment. It may be that Senator Cruz is thinking, if Donald Trump doesn't go all the way, I'd want that endorsement. But definitely there's a power to the rhetoric that's undeniable, that even as other Republicans have distanced themselves from Donald Trump, he is not backing down. He is doubling down on what he's saying, and it seems to be working.
And what about how the Democrats are playing this? Hillary Clinton gave her first national broadcast interview of her campaign to CNN this week. She said she was very disappointed in Trump and the Republican Party for not stopping him. And she kind of took what Trump was saying and tried to lump Republicans together on the issue of immigration. Let's listen.
They don't want to provide a path to citizenship. They range across a spectrum of being either grudgingly welcome or hostile toward immigrants.
What about that strategy, Christina, of trying to lump Republicans? If Trump's getting all the oxygen in the room, can Hillary Clinton just say this is what they all believe?
The Democrats are really attempting to do that, and this may be a stretch to link these, but consider how the Democrats reacted to the Republican sort of self-created mess on the floor yesterday over Confederate flag imagery and national landmarks and monuments. The Democrats really enjoyed attempting to paint the Republicans entirely with a broad brush and connotate that there's racism within the Republican Party and really point out that the Republican Party is not as diverse as the Democratic Party. And so that's all part of this. And the Republican Party is very aware of that. I mean, they came out with their very own assessment in 2012 pointing out they understand they need to do more outreach to combat the impression. Certainly, they don't believe that they are unfriendly. And they'll all say, you know, we love immigration, legal immigration, and here are the things we need to do. And we can all agree we should have a secure border. And so I think that there's a place for a more substantive conversation where we're not just falling back into nasty rhetoric. But right now, that is a powerful position for the Democratic Party, both to get more fundraising and to paint their opponents as extremists.
Well, Christina and Rick, I want to stay with Hillary Clinton for a second because in that CNN interview, there was some wondering why she wasn't better prepared for some questions that she knew she'd be getting. She was asked about her deletion of work emails on her private server.
I've never had a subpoena. There is nothing. Again, let's take a deep breath here. Everything I did was permitted by law and regulation.
So there you have it. I've never had a subpoena. And Republicans released a document saying she had been subpoenaed. She wasn't telling the truth. Rick, your thoughts?
Well, in fact, she had been subpoenaed. She was referring, I suppose, to the time frame there. But I was struck by how little she wanted to answer questions. The campaign has talked about, I think, in part responding to the momentum behind Bernie Sanders and the interest that she wants to be more open. She wants to engage. She's going to start doing national press interviews. She didn't even answer the question about which woman she would want on a $10 bill. she went all around on that one.
I thought that was very odd. I think you could come right out and say Harriet Tubman and
no,
it would be a winner.
No, because you'd really upset the Eleanor Roosevelt.
Or Eleanor Roosevelt. Yeah,
but see, if you pick one or the other.
Right. At least it's a position.
Yeah. Well, but there's strong feelings on each side, and she doesn't want to lose either of those camps.
Well, that's welcome to Hillary Clinton, right? That was her MO in 2008. That was something that she has done in many cases. I mean, remember when Chris Dodd went after her on one of those debate stages saying you've given two different answers on, I think it wasn't it, driver's licenses for immigrants
that's right.
who are undocumented?
That's right.
And I mean, so this is someone who knows how to moderate her message and avoid giving direct and specific answers.
So I want to ask you, as you look at the rest of the field, because now we're talking about, 16 Republicans, and we will be at the end, maybe 17 Republicans and 4 or 5 Democratic candidates. Who are we not talking about that we should be? I'll start with you, Rick.
I'm still keeping an eye on Rand Paul. He's come away from the headlines. But keep in mind, if there are 16 or 17 different candidates, you don't have to win with 50% or 40% or 30%. You could be winning with 15 or 20% in some states. And I think there's still a potential there for Rand Paul to emerge out of that. I also think Marco Rubio a little bit overshadowed in recent weeks. But I just think we have to start thinking about more narrow slices of the electorate being the winner, at least in the early states.
Well, what about the Democratic side? And I'm going to actually play a Republican first before I ask you. This is Jeb Bush's comments to the New Hampshire Union Leader on how he planned to bring the economy up to 4% growth. Let's listen.
It means that people need to work longer hours and through their productivity gain more income for their families. That's the only way we're going to get out of this rut that we're in.
Work longer hours. Americans are working longer hours than ever before. He clarified afterward that he meant part-time workers who want to work more. But the opening was there, and Bernie Sanders jumped in. That brings me to Bernie Sanders. I mean, on the Democratic side, you know, are those who are writing him off foolish to do so?
No. I will answer that. I also want to answer that Republican question, too.
Okay,
but with Sanders, so the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll took a look at Democratic primary voters. And the ones that really like him, of those, only 8% said they would not vote for Hillary Clinton in a primary, while 32% of her people said they would never vote for him in a primary. And that just gives you an illustration. People are attempting to send a message to her that is clearly resonating. She has moved to the left. And that is in part because of Bernie Sanders, in part because of Elizabeth Warren, but in general, in part because she's responding to what the country is telling her. And that is working. And eventually they might be on a debate stage and her campaign is attempting to show him some deference and respect to show they're not taking it for granted that she's the front runner, but she remains the front runner.
But Christina, we got about a minute here, so I want you to comment on the Republicans you think that we should be watching.
Human being interaction is very important. And the two Republicans who remain good at that interaction are Rick Perry and Chris Christie. Mm-hmm. And I think that that does go a long way. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to make it on a debate stage or that they will win, but I think we shouldn't immediately dismiss them.
Okay.
Christina Bellantoni, editor-in-chief at Roll Call, and Rick Klein, political director for ABC News. Thanks to both of you so much.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
How funny that human being interaction would be something that only two are really doing well at.
We spend so much time on Twitter and all these other things now. You still have to be able to talk to humans.
That's right.
This is Here and Now.